Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. And our subject today is guidance for everyday life. Just a few years ago, no one would dare to ask this question: does God really guide today? Do we really need guidance? A few years ago, biblical guidance was taught in most churches, and most people would always consult the Lord and pray before making a decision. And they would ask, and they would say, Lord, show me your ways, teach me your paths, lead me, teach me. And we see this in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13. And this is Moses. Now therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and find grace in your sight, and consider the nation, this nation is your people. So that's the heartfelt cry of Christians of yesteryear and some Christians of today. They are always praying, I want to follow your footsteps, Lord. Guide me. Let me have your counsel. I want to know your will pertaining this situation. Grant me wisdom for your name's sake. Lead me and guide me. Christians wanted to know God's plans, and Christians ought to know God's plans for their lives, pertaining major decisions, pertaining choices. But sadly today, in many circles, the fundamental principle of seeking God's guidance seems to have slipped away greatly. And we see this when comparing the new view or the liberal view of guidance with the traditional view of guidance, which is really the biblical position. The traditional view is more biblical than the modern view. If you want to know about guidance, if you want God to lead you, you've got to settle in your mind, what is true biblical guidance? We must know what God's word says, not what the most modern book says. And then we shall be able to do much better. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of history. The new view for guidance, it came into the body of Christ mostly in the 1980s. I won't mention any names by whom it came, but the new view simply says, or paraphrase says, Christians are entirely free to choose for themselves. Christians are free to make large decisions and free to make small decisions, as long as their choices are made morally. And so the guidance is sidelined, and the thinking is based upon this. Christians are supposed to be mature. And because you are growing up, you don't need to run to your father and ask him for every single little thing. You ought to be mature enough to make your own decisions. And when you are mature, you can make wise decisions. You've got a renewed mind. You're going to make a God decision. You're going to make a right decision. And so this kind of thinking negates that we would need to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Negates that we need to search the scriptures for ourselves. And when I say search the scriptures, I remember not, I'll do that. I'll follow that one, Lord. No, we compare scripture with scripture, and we pray over what we read, and we'll look at that a little later. So this whole criticism that came in against traditional guidance. It was based upon, well, not, they say that you cannot say that guidance is valid because it can't be applied to all of life's decisions. Everyday decisions and routine decisions, these critics argue that the kind of toothpaste you use, it's common sense. You don't need to ask God. And they say, well, you see, if you don't have to ask God what toothpaste you use, why do you have to ask him what career you're going to seek, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live? These important issues. And these people that don't believe in guidance, they say because you can't ask God for the little things, you shouldn't ask him for the big things, which doesn't really make sense. They seem to insist that God does not expect us to seek his will pertaining the major issues of life. And I've mentioned them, who to marry. Well, if you make a decision, just, I want to marry the most beautiful girl in the whole of Kenya. That's all I want, beauty. Well, let me tell you, you look at character more than you look at beauty. I would rather be married to somebody that's of a Proverbs 31 character than the most beautiful woman that is a nagging, dripping tap. It's better to live on the housetop than to live with such a woman. Well, we will see that they say, I just need to say this, they say the New Testament doesn't provide any instruction that we are to seek for guidance. But they overlook one key crucial example, and that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our pattern. He is our example. He said, follow me. Nobody will argue that we are not to follow the Lord. We are to follow his example. We are to imitate him. And these writers, they surprisingly overlook the most important pattern that was ever provided, our divine Lord and forerunner and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is perfect in every way. So he provided a perfect pattern for us, perfect in every way. And for example, Jesus Christ, he said, I always do the will of my Father. How can these people that say that there's no guidance in the New Testament, there's nothing about being guided by God in the New Testament, when the whole New Testament is about Jesus and how he did what he saw his Father do? How he said, not my will be done, O Lord, but your will be done. He provided a pattern for us. And it's abundantly clear that we are instructed to follow him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 26, if any man serve me, that's any man, any woman, any person, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. And if any man serve me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come. Father, glorify thy name. Then the voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So we learn of Jesus Christ. He was facing a situation that was difficult. As a man, he trembled. It was a great cloud of darkness that came upon him. And he was afraid. And when you are and I face a situation that we are afraid of, how do we pray? And we can pray this wonderful prayer. Father, glorify thy name. Not my will, Lord. I want your name to be glorified. I want your will for this situation. And when we stand at a crossroads, when we don't know which way to choose, let's pray that prayer and say, Father, glorify thy name. And we see that Jesus, our pattern, he was totally obedient. He did only what he saw the Father do. And we must keep in mind, and we must remember that none of us are greater than our Savior. None of us are greater than our Master. And if he consulted the Father, we too ought to consult the Father in prayer and ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? Which way would you have me to go? This is the key to being led by the Lord, prayer and supplication. And you say, well, we are his servants. Yes, we are his servants. We are his children. But we are also his sheep. We are all sheep. And he is the good shepherd. And his sheep hear his voice. And he knows them. And they know him. And they follow him. He leads us. He guides us. Discipleship is taught throughout all the Gospels, throughout the New Testament. A disciple is a follower that desires to know the Lord, desires to know his will, desires to hold on to every word of the Lord. And we seek his face, we seek his will, and we are not ashamed. And this should be our regular prayer. In Psalm 25, verse 3 to 5, none that wait on thee shall be ashamed. Well, we see that waiting on the Lord, we get guidance and we don't make mistakes and we're not brought to shame. None that wait upon the Lord shall be ashamed. Oh, it is good to trust the Lord. It is better to trust the Lord than to trust man. It is better to trust the Lord than to trust horses and chariots and money. The Lord. And then verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. He's our deliverer. Our help comes from the Lord. We look to him. He's our helper. We wait on him. Oh, I don't know what to do. Wait on him. How long? All day if necessary. All day until you get an answer. And we're beginning to see that believers are supposed to, and the norm for a believer is to seek God's help, to seek his guidance, to seek all aspects relating to overall pathway and direction, to forks in the road, to crossroads, to all major decisions. We look to the Lord. There are many Old Testament examples. And the question is, can we apply an Old Testament example today? Should we take these Old Testament promises and try and make them valid for us in our day and age, in the gospel age? And for example, the one that we know is Moses in Exodus 33. Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way. And that's one of the promises we use for guidance. Show me thy way. Unless your presence goes with me, Lord, I cannot go. And people say, well, that was a one-time promise. Long ago for Moses. How can you claim that for yourself today? And this is one of the things the liberal teachers on the subject of guidance, they say that's not valid because that was a one-time promise, specifically in context, only for Moses. Can't take it for you. But let's see what the scripture says. The scripture says that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, the scripture says that all these things happened as ensamples. Not examples, ensamples. An ensample is an exact pattern. It is a die. It, you know, when you have a pattern, a mold that you pour something into, it's a pattern that happened. It was written for our admonition. And that simply means to serve as a caution for us. These things that were written in the past were written and recorded for our instruction. The things that happened are illustrations of the way which God works. So yes, we can take and we should take the pastoral lessons from all of the Old Testament promises. We should be led by these wonderful words. This one, show me now your way, show me the course and manner of your dealings. And it's worth noting that Moses was led and guided, and that yet they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But God knew exactly what he was doing. And sometimes with God's guidance, we wonder, what is happening? Is this really the way? But those that know their Lord, trust their Lord, and those that trust their Lord shall never be put to shame. Guidance and seeking God's will is lifelong. We never mature to a place where we never need to ask the Lord. No, the believer, let me read it to you. Psalm 48 and verse 14. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us even unto death all the days of your life. He will guide you. He will show you the way. You will hear a voice saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And this is so precious that he will be our guide, our faithful guide. He will not deceive us. He will lead us in the right way. He will guide us even unto death. The one who steers our course is the one who is full of loving kindness and faithfulness. He determines our destinies. He is the one who gives us favor. He is the one who defends us. He is the one who is with us all the days of our life. So this is far more than just guidance. It is, he gives us a path, and then he gives us the desire to go on that path, the strength to go on that path, the resolve to run the race and finish the race. You see, he doesn't just leave us to go our own way. He helps us every step of the way. His mercy will ensure that we shall arrive, that we will finish that which he's called us to do. The wonderful verse that we use for guidance in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now the modern writers are very quick to take this scripture and make it really only a promise of God's blessing on your life. And they sideline the guidance part. And what they do, they say, well, you see, direct. He will direct your paths. That doesn't mean show you the way. That means make plain and smooth. And it does mean make plain and smooth. The original meaning is make plain and smooth. Guidance in all your ways, acknowledge Him. So there is an acknowledgement. I have ways and I have choices. And in those choices, I must acknowledge Him. I must ask Him. And it's not a matter of knowing which is the right way and the wrong way. It's a matter of knowing Him. Knowing His way for my life. The wise trust in God rather than in their own wisdom. You see, when we've got God's help, why would we want to do it on our own? We want to rely upon Him. We fear Him and we honor Him and we accept His decisions, even if they're difficult and even if they involve discipline. We accept His decisions because we know His way is the best way. His way is the safest way. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be a well-watered garden like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. He guides with His counsel. He gives us counsel, and that counsel is by His word. And the night hours, He gives us counsel. The day hours, He gives us counsel. And as He guided the Israelites through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, He will guide us no matter what we are facing. Whether it is night or whether it is day, He will be our shepherd. We read this in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. The Lord will guide me. It literally means He will guide you without interruption. He will not say, today's my day of rest. Sorry, no guidance for you today. He will guide us without interruption. And as the Lord guided Abraham, are we not children of Abraham? The Lord guided Abraham's servant and He gave him divine guidance. Supposing that servant went out to try and find a wife for his master's son without prayer. Supposing he went out without divine guidance, but he had guidance from the Lord. Prayer brought a favorable outcome. And in our lives, prayer always brings a favorable outcome. It brings guidance. It brings clarity. When we have significant decisions to make, the first thing we should do is pray and ask the Lord. We should ask Him for His help. We should value and we should desire and say, Lord, what do You want? Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Well, what a wonderful promise. I will guide you with my eye. Verse 9, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be healed with a bit or bridle, lest they come near. Or in other words, whose mouth must be healed with a bit and a bridle, or else they will not obey. Now, guidance is not hard. We think guidance is difficult, but when we are willing, when we desire to be led, we shall be led. We hardly need a word from God when there's a desire in our heart. We just need one look from Him and we say, I know that's my Savior leading me in that direction. It's not difficult. It's not hard. We We submit to him not because we have to, but we submit to him because we trust him. We love him. We know he's watching over us. We gladly and we willingly desire more than anything his guidance. And then we pray and we ask him. And guidance, when we come to him like that, it's not far. It's very near. We seek his path by asking for wisdom. We know the scripture that says if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask. You know, every day, especially the beginning of the new year, we're going to face new ventures, new programs, new projects, maybe new crops that we're going to plant. But how foolish to plan our own affairs when we can ask the Lord and say, Lord, guide us, show us the best, show us the way, show us what will succeed, show us what you have in mind. We desire your will, O Lord. We desire to know what you would do. And scripture tells us that wisdom will lead us in paths of progress. You know, foolishness leads us in paths of the opposite of progress, of despair and lack. And every day, the Lord, when we follow him, he leads us into new victories. He constantly enriches our lives. He enriches our character. And he moves us towards the one appointed goal. That appointed goal, the chief end, which is to glorify God. You know, the shorter catechism says, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Oh, the chief goal of knowing the Lord is to glorify the Lord and enjoy him forever. This is the only success that's worth having. There's no other success worth having in life. I read this in one of the old writers. He says, all other successes are like a flickering flame or a flickering lamp, which the first windy, stormy night will blow out. But the righteous are a bright light, getting brighter and brighter like the rising of the sun. I want to give you just very briefly, my intention is not to make this a long series, but just to give you the importance of guidance. And number one, when you are asking God's guidance, we have already covered this, is prayer and submission. That's the first step. I submit to God. I want God's ways. I desire God's ways. And then I ask him for his ways. Now, point number two is, I call it clearing the decks. George Muller wrote a little book, How to Determine the Will of God. And he gives such good advice. He says, I seek to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own pertaining a given matter. And when you are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be, 9/10 of the difficulties to be overcome are this, to put my will aside, to put what I want aside. I ask myself, what is my motive for wanting this? Why do I want this anyway? Will it glorify the Lord? And then number three, I use the scriptures. I consult the scriptures. I prayerfully go to the Word of God. I hide his word in my heart. And thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I consult God's word. I look at the whole of scripture. I don't just pick an isolated verse and twist it to say what I want it to say. I compare scripture with scripture. I look at the whole tenure of scripture and I say, yes, that's consistent. That's what this is saying. And I don't just say, well, I feel the Holy Spirit is saying, and ignore what Scripture says. There must be in an agreement. Those promptings in our heart must agree with the holy written word of God. So I consult Scripture. Then, number four, I weigh up the pros and cons. I carefully weigh up all the practical issues, especially with decisions that are not listed in the Word of God. Like, for example, now I might choose a profession that electrical engineer, it's not in the Bible. Lord, do you want me? I can't know what to do because I can't read anything about electrical engineer in the Bible. No, I weigh up carefully practical issues not addressed by Scripture, and I take into account providential circumstances. And these circumstances often plainly indicate God's will concerning a decision that I have to make. For example, I want to move to a certain city, or I want to go to that city. I'm not sure which one to go to. So I go to the first city and there's no church there. There's no believers there. There's nowhere to fellowship there. Surely that should weigh on my decision. Surely I should say, providentially, circumstances are, that city has a good church. That should affect my decision, not my decision based solely upon that. I have gone to the Lord in prayer. I'm willing to submit to Him. I've searched the Scriptures, but I also consider the natural circumstances. And when all these things line up together, then we can make a better decision on God's guidance. And then also we must consider the overruling of God. That sometimes we are so determined, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go this way, and then the door closes. And there's one door open before us. Well, we should say, well, although I think this door should be open, Lord, I think that You may be speaking to me and guiding me a different way than what I thought. Your way, Lord, is always the best way. I trust Your way. In Your mercy and grace, O Lord, You open up the right path for me to go. If there's a closed door, I will not despair. I trust You that You know what You're doing. And then the last point that, and I'm coming towards an end, the last point is assurance and unease. And we must be sensitive to the prompting of the thoughts that come to our hearts, but we must also be sensitive to the pricking of our conscience. And both conscience and heart, if my mind is at peace and continues to be at peace after two or three times of prayer, two or three times of searching the Scriptures, two or three times of asking the Lord, then I say, well, I think the Lord is leading me in this way. And we step out in that way. And the author of this little article, George Muller, said, when he puts these methods, he finds them very effective in all trivial decisions and all important decisions. All these steps that I've mentioned are essential. We cannot just say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to jump to the last one. I don't need all the others. I'll just jump to the last step. And if I won't consult Scripture, I won't pray, I won't desire an answer. And if I feel good, well, then that's it. I'm going to do it. No, you cannot jump to the last step. We submit to God. We ask the Lord. I want to read Psalm 27:8 again. When You said, seek My face, My heart said to You, your face will I seek. Guide me, O great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. These are the words of an old hymn. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and forevermore. You see, we need the Lord, and he has instructed us, seek his face. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are our Lord and God. We thank you that you will guide us into all truth. We thank you, Lord, that you show us your paths of righteousness. We thank you that we are your sons and we are your daughters, and we are led by the Spirit of God. We thank you that we can cry, Abba, Father, my Father. Lord, your face we desire to seek, that we may know you and walk with you and be guided by you all the days of our life, even unto death. We ask, Lord, that we would consider you and seek your face always. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.